Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we're going to talk about how to do shadow work. I'm going to give you a really concise, easy to understand and quick to implement exercise that is, it's really extremely powerful for shadow work. I've been quite surprised at its power. And this is something that I actually developed, not entirely by myself, but basing my insights on everything I've read about shadow work and just coming up with a really concise method that you can use over and over again to reintegrate your shadow. This is a Deep Psychology podcast. I'm Ross Edwards, author, coach, podcaster, and avid practitioner and teacher of psychology and spirituality. And listening to this podcast, you're part of the worldwide Deep Psychology community of tens of thousands of people undertaking profound personal transformation. You can find me on Spotify and Apple, where I release new episodes every Thursday. If you dig what I do and want to help the show grow, share this with a friend and leave a review. You can also go deeper with this work by training with me at deep-psychology.com. Let's get started. So I'm actually recording this. I was going to record a different episode today, but it came up in one of my coaching sessions with a client now that we've done about 15 sessions together. And yes, there are spaces available for coaching if you want to get in touch with me and organize some coaching on any of the topics that I cover in this podcast to help you grow in psyche and mind and spirit. He was asking about, you know, how do we do shadow work? And I was explaining the technique to him and I realized, I should probably do an episode about this because this is just such a powerful technique and I wish that I had learned it. People often complain that shadow work is too academic, too abstract, not made very practical, and that kind of annoys me because ultimately it is extraordinarily practical and this exercise is actually quite simple. So I'm not going to go into huge detail about what the shadow is. I will do sort of implicitly in describing the technique and its effects and how it feels when you do it properly and so on. That'll implicitly come out. But I won't go into like a huge explanation. What I'll just say is that the shadow is essentially any trait, any personality trait or any drive or any desire that we repress in ourselves. Right? So if we have a repressed trait in us, and we all do, we all have sort of more positive, pro-social, healthy traits that are repressed in us. We also have unhealthy, antisocial traits that we repress. And this is all for various reasons. What happens is at some point we had that drive or desire or trait or intention for some reason. We decided that it wasn't valuable, it wasn't desirable, it wasn't acceptable, whether we decided that because of some social factor, because of some trauma, or because of some relationship we had, like with a family member or a parent, for example, because of school, because of sort of the behavior, you know, the restrictions that get put on us at school. There's many reasons. At some point, we basically decide that it's not desirable and we repress and deny it, right? So we kind of, we push it down. We stop acting on it. And eventually, what actually happens is that it goes into the subconscious. And what this basically means is that it's still present, but it is not present as like a fully owned desire, right? So this desire sort of goes into the background. It's there, but it's in the background, operating sort of on its own accord, right? And one of the classic things we do with any traits, any shadow traits, let's call them shadow traits. One classic thing we do, and this is something that Freud discovered, and basically all posterior research into the shadow has confirmed this. What we do with the shadow is we project it. And a basic way to see this projection is in people that annoy us, right? What happens if someone has a trait that we have repressed, if someone has a shadow trait of ours, that person will typically annoy us, right? So let's say I have a desire to drink alcohol, and at some point I repress this desire. And so it's there, but it's sort of subconsciously there, and I deny it in myself. I don't acknowledge it to myself, and I sort of deny it. I don't act on it, right? What's going to happen is, as soon as I see someone drinking, or as soon as someone offers me a drink, I'm going to get annoyed. I'm going to start judging them. I'm going to, you know, wonder, why are you drinking? I can't believe you want to drink alcohol. Why are you offering me this alcohol? Get away, get out of my hair. I don't drink alcohol. I don't want to drink alcohol. Right? So we project it onto the other person, and therefore it annoys us. It doesn't mean that the other person doesn't want to drink alcohol, right? I'm not saying that. I'm not saying we're inventing the other person's desires by projecting ours onto them. I mean, that can kind of happen to some extent, but the fact is that that person is drinking alcohol. That is a fact, right? And they offer us a drink. But what happens when we repress a trait? It goes into the shadow, and we deny it in ourselves, and we basically deny the trait as a whole in the world, not just in ourselves, but in the world as a whole, right? And everyone around us. And we have to then attack it, because we attack it in ourselves. And we, because it's subconscious, we don't realize that that's what we are attacking in ourselves and others. This is a classic shadow mechanism. It might be strange to hear this, because it kind of goes against how we typically understand relationships and the social world and our psychology, but it's a classic shadow mechanism, and it's really tricky. I understand if it's difficult to understand or to accept this, but that is what it is. It's a classic mechanism. So once, you know, and the thing is, once we project it, it allows us to more effectively deny it, you see, because if we then hate it in other people, it's sort of easier to deny that we have that trait. You know, it's like a smoke bomb that we set off on ourselves, right? So that's what's happening with the shadow. Needless to say, I mean, well, to me it seems needless to say, but if you've not seen your shadow, you might not understand the depth of the predicament you're in. Having a shadow, I mean, we all have shadow, and it can be positive and negative, but basically what it does is it makes you half of who you really are. You know, let's say you have 100 authentic desires, and you consciously embody 50 of them. This is, I'm just making up numbers just to give you an example. And you deny and repress the other 50. What's going to happen is, one, you hate the world because you just see everyone else expressing these desires that you repress in yourself. And you're only expressing half of your authentic desires, right? It makes you basically half a person. And that sounds horrible, but I say it to myself as well. We are not being fully who we actually are. And it actually creates all kinds of problems and friction. You can imagine the kind of problems that are created when you go around basically trying to rid the world of your own shadow. And this is what we do, right? This is what we do. And when you re-own your shadow, at least to some degree, you see this, and you see that that's what other people do as well. They are constantly, there's a name for this, it's called shadow boxing. We're constantly shadow boxing the world, trying to rid the world of our own repressed traits because we cannot stand them. On the other hand, we can use projection to our advantage, because basically what we can do is, whenever someone annoys us, we can assume that there is shadow projection going on, right? And now, I just want to remind you, it doesn't mean that the other person doesn't have that trait or that desire that we have, but what is happening is that annoys us so much because we have repressed that trait in ourselves. And if that's a tough pill to swallow, I just say, just trust me on this. And I also say, trust me when I say that this is a huge opportunity for growth. And it's, to me, it's really a fundamental step towards real, like, true growth in psyche and spirit, which is my message here. Because if not, we are really, again, we're living as half people, and we are basically living very falsely. and denying all sorts of things that we do and we simply cannot stand. So what's the technique, right? So first of all, we have to kind of identify, you know, what shadow trait do we want to try and integrate? What I would suggest you do is go for, again, anyone that annoys you, anyone that seems to have a trait that you don't like, anyone that you seem to get in conflict with and that causes you a problem, I would suggest that that is a really good place to start. You might not want to go for the most difficult people in your life because that's where the most shadow will be, but, you know, perhaps a moderate amount of conflict with this person, and then you can step it up and you can really go into this work really deeply. So we're going to identify that trait. You know, what is it about that person that annoys us? Maybe it's because they're angry. Maybe because it's they're demanding. Maybe it's because they're a moaner. Maybe it's because I don't know, any other trait that annoys you. Maybe they drink. Maybe they gamble. Maybe they are, you know, a bit rude, for example, right? Anything that annoys you about that person. Now, that's step one. Identify the trait you want to reown. Two is then you're going to ask questions to this person and you're going to respond pretending that you are them. So let's say I use the example of this person who's a moaner, right? So I'm going to ask questions to that person and answer as though I am them, being the moaner. So I'm going to answer as them moaning. So let's say I say, well, why are you moaning? What are you moaning about? And then I put on that person's voice and I go, oh, well, I hate the world and I just hate how things are and the politicians are a nightmare and the business people are a nightmare. And, oh, I hate bureaucracy and I hate, you know, modern society and I hate, right? And then you ask another question and you say, well, what's so terrible about these things? And then you respond, literally imitating that person's voice as though you are them. You know, any sort of memory you have of them that helps you really try and speak as them, as though they would speak, the better, right? So you keep asking questions until you feel like you've like fully kind of imitated that person as much as you can, as that moaning person or as any other trait that you're trying to work with. And then what you do is you ask the same questions again and you respond in your own voice. So you're kind of asking yourself now, you're sort of still answering as that person because it's their moaning that is what's annoying you. So you ask yourself, but you're still responding as them, sort of, in your own voice, right? Literally with your own speaking voice. So you say, what annoys you? What do you moan about all the time? And you say, oh, well, I hate the government and I hate bureaucracy and I hate I hate traffic and I hate the youngsters of today. Listen, I'm just making this up, right? But you do that and you keep asking questions, right? And what I want you to realize is that this whole time that you've been speaking as your own voice, with your own voice, is that it is you that has been talking, right? It's not the other person talking. In fact, in the previous phase, the other person wasn't talking. It was you, but you were imitating their voice. I want you to realize that you are talking. And actually, and here's the real kicker of this exercise, and this is where your entire world will flip inside out. I want you to realize that everything that you have just said, you know, I hate the government in this example, I hate the government, I hate traffic, I hate the youngsters of today, all of that is you and your own opinions and your own trait, you know, this moaning, this whining, that is all you. Right? I want you to viscerally feel that this is the case. It's not that other person, it's you. That is what it is. It's you speaking in first person, expressing your very own opinions, right? Now, the first time you do this, it probably won't feel like that. The second time you do this, probably won't feel like that. The third time you do this, probably won't feel like that. However, the more you do this, the more you will really start to realize that all of that stuff that you've just been expressing has been your own, right? And this is a visceral thing. It's something you feel. It's sort of like you feel that what you thought was out there in the other person is actually in you. And this exercise is simply helping you re-own all that material. It's sort of like a sleight of hand. It's sort of like we're going through the back door into the subconscious, and we're slowly flipping it all inside out and helping you realize that it's all actually you, right? And when you realize this, it is deeply liberating. It can be a shock, and it might not always be a pleasant thing. You might be like, oh my goodness me, I can't believe this is all me. I can't believe it. This is incredible. How could I not have realized this? And yeah, it might take a while for this to happen. You just need to trust me. I can tell you right now, whenever I do this exercise, even as I was doing it there, I realized that those were all that was my shadow talking, right? And I wasn't even thinking about anyone in particular. I was just using it as an example. But all those things I was saying were my own opinions, right? They were mine. They're just buried in the subconscious, right? And I don't want you to imagine this. I want you to actually try to get to the point where you feel that they are really yours, right? And I can try and explain what that feels like as much as I can. It feels like your perception is sort of flipped. You can actually feel these desires. You feel that it's your voice expressing. It feels like an old part of yourself is being revived and sort of regurgitated, right? It's a difficult thing to describe. That's just the best I can do, right? So, just to remind you, you choose someone you dislike, someone that annoys you, someone you have conflict with, someone that pushes your buttons. You choose the trait in them that annoys you specifically. And again, there's so many. And actually, we can do this with positive traits as well. And I would encourage you to do that. Because doing it with positive traits, you just realize all the good stuff that you had that you weren't realizing, right? Then we ask that person questions. We imagine them in our mind. We ask them questions. You can even imagine them sitting opposite you or standing opposite you or looking at you in front of you. And ask some questions, respond as them in their voice, imitating them as best you can. Like if you're a guy and you have to imitate a woman's voice, do it. If you're a woman, you have to imitate a guy's voice, do it. Really, the closer you get, the best, the better. You can even like just gesticulate, do arm movements, hand movements. You know, you can even put on that person's body language, anything. After you've done that and you feel you've got it all, you know, you've sort of covered everything you need to cover, you've sort of expressed all that person's desires, you do the exact same, stop imagining that person, just do the same, but ask yourself the same questions, repeating the answers, but in your own voice, and do that and do that and do that until you can realize that it's all you. All those desires are you. Right. It doesn't matter how dark the desires are. It doesn't matter. How foreign they seem. The more foreign they seem, the deeper these desires are buried in your subconscious. Right. So let me to finish off this episode on a slightly humorous note, but also very instructive. And I want you to see that one, I do this, and two, that it works and how to do it, you know, how it actually works real time. I'm going to do this exercise. I'm going to do it with a real trait, you know, a real shadow trait of mine. And I'm going to demonstrate it for you and talk you through it, right? So the trait I'm going to use, I'm not going to tell you who has this trait and annoys me. I'm just going to tell you what the trait is. This trait is sharing your life. And just talking about yourself all the time. And this is funny because this is a very common shadow trait. I see this all the time in other people. Not so easy to see it in yourself though. So listen, right? What I'm doing is I've identified that trait. I know it annoys me. I know the person who it annoys me when they do it. Just talking about themselves, sharing their own life all the time, right? So I'm going to picture that person sitting opposite me, looking at me in my imagination. and I'm going to start asking them questions, and I'm going to put on their voice. What do you want? I want to talk about myself. I've got so much to share, and I just want everyone to know about my life. And I go out with my friends, and I do this, and I do that, and I go out partying, and I go out discoing, and I go out drinking, and I get involved in all sorts of shenanigans. And I just want to tell everyone what I'm up to. I love life. I have so much fun. So why do you want to tell everyone? Because I just love my life, and I love my friends, and I love my social life, and I just want to tell everyone what I'm up to because I think they're really interested, and I don't really care what they've been up to. I just want to tell my story. I want to tell everyone what I've been doing. My life is so interesting. My life is what everyone should be listening about. How do you feel when other people share their stories? I don't mind when other people share their stories, but I prefer to tell my story. I've got so much to tell everyone. I've got all these photos to show people. I've got all the things I've been doing at the weekend, all the crazy stuff I've been doing at work, I can't really be bothered listening to other people's stories. They're not as interesting as mine. They're not me. They're not my stories. They're not my life. I've not experienced that stuff. I don't know what they're talking about. I can't relate to that. I just want to talk about me. Right, so what I've done is imagine that person. I've sort of imagined them, how they would respond to that question, and I have used their voice, and I have basically responded as them, imitating them as best as possible. It is a female, by the way, if you didn't catch that. Right, so the third phase now, I'm going to, and by the way, I felt like I exhausted that. I didn't really have much else to say. I felt like I got to the end, you know, I'd sort of got through all the material. So what I do in the third phase now is I repeat this, but I respond as myself. So I'm still sort of imagining them as though they are there, but I'm now responding more as myself. And the more this goes on, the more I'm just going to drop the other person, you know, the person that annoys me. I'm just going to like respond as myself. So here's how it goes. What do you want? I just want to talk about myself. I've been up to so many things. I've been reading all these amazing books. I've been working on my business. I've been doing my podcast. I've been talking to so many interesting people. I'm listening to all these amazing podcasts and YouTube videos. And I'm just, my mind is getting totally blown by all these things. And I just want to share them. I want people to listen. I want people to know what I've been doing. I want people to know what I've been doing with my friends. And how do you feel when other people share what they're up to? I mean, sometimes it interests me, but I've not been there. I've not experienced it. And I don't really understand why they enjoy the things they enjoy. I'd rather just speak about me and my books and what I'm up to and my business and everything I do with my friends at the weekend and so on and so forth. One more question. So what do you want from other people? I want them to ask me questions. I want them to listen to me. I want to share my story. I want them to tell me how amazing my life is. I want them to take interest in me. I want them to take the first step. I want them to ask me. I want them to get excited about my life. I want them to do things with me. Right, so that's the end. I mean, listen, you can do this for more than what I've done it. And I would... Honestly, the more the better, as long as it feels like it's really like digging down. And I can tell you right now that after doing it, I can actually feel that that is my own desire, right? And the precise reason that this person annoys me when they do this, and they do it, I can't deny that. But the precise reason it annoys me is because that trait is in me and I want to do it, but it's very repressed in me. And even though as I was talking there and expressing all these needs and desires, I could feel that it's quite a distant part of me. And it's going to take more work for me to reintegrate this trait. All right, so I think we're done for this episode. I really hope this has helped you get a practical method for shadow work. I hope you enjoyed listening to me do it. I have shadow, of course I do. We all do. But we also have positive shadow, not just sort of... antisocial traits or unhealthy traits. We have all kinds of shadow. And I just hope this has really brought it down to earth for you. And I hope you can get that feeling, that really core insight at the end of each exercise that this is me, these are all my own desires. And the key is just to keep talking and keep contacting that part of you that is expressing itself, and try to talk as it as much as you can. And I really felt at the end of that exercise that I was doing it. I was speaking quite fast because I didn't want to prolong it too much, but I hope you sort of feel that authenticity coming through, that sort of repressed part of me being dug up from the depths of my psyche. All right, everyone, if you want to do coaching and my classes, I've actually got a couple of interesting things to mention. The Sunday Sit, new meditation every Sunday on this podcast for the month of July. I hope you join us every Sunday, and the first one was posted on the 6th. And also, I'm going to have a new set of meditation. Well, it's not just meditation and sort of psycho-spiritual classes starting in September. I'm going to have much more information for you about that. Just wanted to mention it right now. All right, everyone, thanks for joining me. Take care. I'll see you soon. Thanks for listening. If you liked this episode, please leave a review and share with a friend. And if you'd like to go deeper, head to deep-psychology.com to join my training. Thanks for joining me, and I'll see you soon.